Tonight, up at the John M. Huntsman Center, the final night of Summer League here in Salt Lake City. Jazz will play the 76ers at 7, the early game between the Spurs and the Celtics at 5 o'clock. Remember, they're up at the Huntsman Center tonight. Our next guest happens to call a little Jazz basketball on television. He's the play-by-play voice of the Jazz, Craig Bowlerjack, in July with us here on the Bill Riley Show. How are you, Bowler?
I'm good, Bill. How are you doing, buddy?
You know, life's okay. Not too bad.
We're third hour of the day, and you still got all that. You got the energy going. That's good.
I've got to, man. I've got to keep up the. When you fly solo now, you got to keep that. You can't lean on somebody else.
You'll pick up a Red Bull maybe on occasion. See what happens.
Every now and again, you get that little shot of whatever you need to get through the day. You know how it goes.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, you've got basketball right now. We're 56 days from football, Bowler.
Oh,
can you believe
God. College
football is almost back on us?
I love it. I can hardly wait for all the above football. I don't wish away summer. Believe me.
No.
But I love the days off and you know, and everybody regroups, but it's great when July hits. You know, summer league's here, which also means college NFL camps are not far away, and that means preseason, that means the real deal in September, and then we're playing basketball again and for college and high school and the NBA. I mean, it's amazing. Everything, we've been in this business a while, right? You would agree. I mean,
yeah.
It's really never is nonstop. There's a week or two maybe where there's really nothing, and it's a little slow. But you know, with professional soccer, minor league baseball, and just you know all the activity, you know, the Olympics now coming up. I mean, it's just kind of nonstop. You may get a breath or a breather for a week or two, but then it just kind of kicks back in.
Yeah, you remember. I mean, for all those years you did the afternoon talk show, we used to talk about June and July and August as being the dead months here in Salt Lake City because
we weren't
Chicago or L.A. that had Major League Baseball or NFL. But like you said, now with Real Salt Lake here and with Summer League back and the draft going and then free agency going and college football, media day is going. You're right. There's about a week here and maybe a week there, but it isn't nearly as dead in the summertime here as it used to be.
No, I really think it's picked up. You know, BYU had a terrific media day. What was it, last week? And, you know, Utah is on their way, and it is amazing. I remember those days. We kind of go, what are we going to talk about for 3 months? But you're right, with drafts, with Summer League back, and the Jazz bringing that back, I think it's been great. Just to keep the interest of the NBA, I think, alive during the summer. You know, the draft's one thing, but having Summer League and actually seeing young players, especially the top three picks, well, yeah, two of the top three picks, pardon me, here in Salt Lake, even though injuries bit them early on Monday, it still brings some excitement back to the city, which I think is good.
Yeah, really, and I think what we've found through Summer League, while there hasn't been a lot to look at for the big club, for the Jazz, Trey Lyles has benefited, and he looks like a guy that probably won't be playing in Summer League again.
No, I think he's probably going to bow out after this year, which, you know, usually the first 2 years you go. I mean, San Antonio's got a couple of guys that are in their third season, and they're trying to make turn ahead with Popovich, and I think they were probably told that would be their best interest. Kyle Anderson and Jonathan Simmons have played extremely well so far here in Salt Lake City. Get back to Trey. You know, he's taken some shots. They put the ball in his hand to play the point forward. He's had nice opening quarters, and then I think defenses and the changes come, and you start getting double team and bumped around. And even though you get to the free throw line, I think probably what he'd like to do with his body being 6'10" is continue to get stronger and just be able to finish. But you know, so far so good. I think he's getting some good minutes. You know, he's averaged nearly 20 points and 12 rebounds in the first two games. His shooting percentage isn't all that impressive, but it's still at the same time he's being physical and he's getting some good minutes. And every rep you take, as you know, you have to know that you think, okay, I'm a little better, or I'm a little smarter than I was before I hit the floor. And I think that's exactly what the Jazz want him to allow to do, and especially down in Vegas as well, coming up this weekend and next week.
Yeah, the only downside is I wish we could see Dante Exum, because I really think he could use the reps and the time with some guys on the floor. Just, I mean, he showed such flashes at the end of that rookie year, but you look at it now, Bowler, he's played exactly one season of basketball in the last 3 years.
And I think, you know, too, I get asked this a lot, well, is he not ready? And I said, you know, look, anybody who's gone through, first you're 19 when you're injured, now you're 20, now you're getting old, right? but you're working your way through, you know, an ACL. You tear your anterior cruciate ligament. I think the bottom line is they want to be careful because, again, Bill, as you know, I mean, there's a stamp of future on his back to go along to work alongside Hayward, Favors, Gobert, and company. I think, you know, again, you can throw a guy back on the floor and now maybe physically he's ready. I'm not sure where he is in mentally. Not saying he's a weak-minded guy, but anybody who's dealt with any type of serious injury, athletically, knees especially, you got to really kind of just there's some mind games that you have to go through, believe me. And I think that's what they're going to allow him to do, and George Hill will help comfort that. I don't think that they expect him just to jump on the floor in October and say, let's roll. But I think it's kind of an ease it back. And remember, he missed a year of preparation under Quinn Snyder's system, and I think that's going to take some time as well. You can watch, but unless you play, it's totally different.
Craig Bowler, Jack, with us here on the Bill Riley Show, talking about the Jazz and some of the moves this summer. The first move came, as you mentioned, with George Hill when they traded that number 12 draft pick to Atlanta. Atlanta sent Teague to Indy, and then obviously Hill came here. You've seen it, Bowler, for the last couple of years since Exum was a rookie, but especially last year. The Jazz have really struggled at the point guard spot, and while Exum, they love his upside, they needed somebody because the Jazz have to start winning and getting back into playoff contention. And I think by most people's thought process is, hey, George Hill, he can be that guy in the short term, and then if Exum gets back, then we can use him in a lot of different places because he's a versatile player.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's exactly what Dennis's plan truly is, Bill, is, again, bring him in, you know, seasoned veteran, knows how to run a club. He's had winning experiences under his belt. And then, as you said, allow Dante just to kind of ease himself back in. If he is as good as advertised, and again, we haven't really had a chance. We've had a taste, right? You mentioned it earlier. There's been a moment or two you go, wow, the flash. Can he become more aggressive? Can he dribble drive and go to the rim? Can he, you know, he's 6'6", he's long. Can he also play that defensive side and still have enough energy to be an offensive threat? So there's a lot of questions, and it's sad that an injury came as early as it did in his career. But at the same time, he's going to just have to adjust, and the Jazz did adjust last year. Sheldon Mack nearly got them into the playoffs, missed it by a game. And as you know, the Jazz picked up his final year of his contract. So I think all of a sudden, point guard's crowded. Point guard seems to be strong with a lot of depth. They'll have to make some decisions, obviously, on Neto, and we'll take it from there. But Trey Burke traded off to Washington, and I wish him well. He's a great young guy, and maybe a change of scenery and a different system will help him.
In addition to point guard, I think the Jazz' greatest weakness last year was just being able to find scores with that second unit. And some of that was the Burks injury parts of the year, but you know, they to be able to find scores on that second unit, you know, that's what good teams have. They have two or three options that can come off that bench, and the Jazz didn't have much of that. Now you had Joe Johnson. Now you got a healthy Alec Burks.
Yeah.
Now you've got take your pick at point guard, whether it's Exum or Mack initially as the backup. You know, you've got some options. Boris Diaw is now in here as well. So, you know, it certainly has gone from a weakness to, I don't know if I would necessarily call it a strength, but it's certainly not a liability like it was a year ago.
No, I totally agree. I think it's a huge upgrade is kind of the way I'm looking at it. And that's what Dennis and Quinn both, we discussed it on the plane ride several times during the last couple of months of the season was, look, we can build a lead, we can't hang on to it. And, you know, again, Trevor Booker, I love the guy. I think, you know, he was an energizer, a fan favorite. And, you know, Joe Ingles as well, I believe will be back as probably his play will probably go down to the 11th and 12th guy. But he's also there to help Dante along because of his Australian background and their team, their teammates with the Australian team. But, you know, he's a fun guy to watch. Energy, I think they, again, it's that confidence, the energy, the experience. And, you know, you have to hope that these additions can bring that. Joe Johnson's played, as you know, 40,000-plus minutes in his career. But as a Jazz, you know, personnel guy told me was, look, you still got to guard him, which, you know, opens the floor. And that's something that Hayward does better when he's got a little more space. Crowded, it seems to frustrate him. Getting to the line, it seems to be difficult, too, or getting the call. But I think he works better in space. And Joe, just because of his reputation and his three-point ability. Look, you can have bad legs or be a little fatigued 15 years into this league, but look, Ray Allen wants to come back, right, at the age of 40. If you can hit that three ball, you can play a long time. That's Jamal Crawford, right? So I think it's a great pickup, and Boris Diaw brings you some grit and grime and muscle. I think the Jazz have upgraded. I think with the way things are changing, my goodness, you know, I don't know if Oklahoma City is going to survive this summer, to be honest, if Westbrook leaves. So, you know, you've got a tilt, and obviously it tilts to the west with Golden State and Durant's move. But I think the Jazz can be a real surprise. And I think what they've done should, unless catastrophic injuries hit, and let's hope that's not the case, but I think they can be a major player again in the Western Conference.
What do you think there? I asked our listeners, I put a little poll up yesterday or the day before. These days run by, run together sometimes. But what do you think the ceiling could be if everything breaks right for them? Because a lot of things changed behind Golden State. You mentioned Oklahoma City, Memphis, some of these other teams. Dallas has taken a dip a little bit too.
Right.
So I'll tell you in a minute, but where do you think the Jazz ceiling could be if things come together for them?
Well, I think in the West, and again, Houston's a team, with Dwight Howard gone, Harden's going to probably try to run the show by himself. That's going to be interesting. Portland had a very injury-free season with C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard having terrific seasons in the backcourt for the Blazers, so I don't know if that can continue. Denver doesn't seem like they've improved much, in my opinion. Kenneth Fareed may actually turn out to be a disappointment rather than a superstar they thought he would be in this league. But I would think, 40 wins last year, Bill. I mean, I don't want to get crazy, but I think they've definitely improved themselves, and they've lost games, you remember, in final minutes. There's multiple games. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I believe it was some over 20 games that the Jazz led with 5 points or more, and then lost those. Lost those games. They had trouble holding leads. So my point is, I think as we discussed, the bench, the experience, they learn how to win. They learn how to close games. I think that's the most important thing for Jazz fans to understand too. Is if the Jazz will be successful, they will close games. And I think the Diaws, the Joe Johnsons, those two guys off the bench will really help in the fourth quarter when you have to have it. George Hill, obviously, with his experience running the team. So let's just say right there, as we discussed, I'm guessing it's a 50-win ball club. Is that overstated?
No, I hadn't even looked at wins yet. I was just kind of looking at place, but no, I don't think that's overstated. I think if things break the right way and they stay healthy, they could be 47 to 50 wins. I think, though, they could be as high as maybe a 4-seed, Bowler. Because
no, I agree. I think, my next comment was, I don't see why the Jazz couldn't host round one.
No, I think the exact same thing. I think the Jazz and Memphis, and depending on what happens in Oklahoma City, they're kind of in that battle for the 3-4-5, or I'm sorry, the 4-5-6
right.
Kind of range. I'm not going to count Oklahoma City out just yet because they still have one of the best five players in the NBA
right.
Who may play with his chip on the shoulder. And, oh, by the way, it's a contract year for him, so he might want to raise that profile for if he does decide to leave Oklahoma City or play for a bigger contract.
He could take 30 shots a game or more, right?
He could take 30 shots a game. He could score 30 points and still dish out 15 assists a game.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got some options. Cantor can score. He can't guard. Oladipo's not a bad player. They've got some things. But anyway, Memphis, Utah, Oklahoma City, I think. But I don't see any reason why, if the Jazz play well and players get a little bit better this year and they stay healthy, I think they could host a first-round game.
Yeah, I think they're one of the better now. As you mentioned, it was an issue of a concern, but the depth that you have to have to win in this league, with your second unit, I think Dennis has done a fabulous job. Look, they gave up a 12th pick. They didn't want to get younger. As Dennis has said before, Bill, I'm sure you've heard the same quote from Dennis, is that we cannot be in perpetual rebuild. And every time you take a younger player, it just kind of, okay, takes time, right? Takes time for that individual to grow into his position. And I think that's why that 12th pick was traded away, and George Hill becomes the Jazz, one of the leaders in the locker room and a point guard position, major player to run this team until Dante gets back up to full speed. And they also traded Olivier Hanlon, who I really thought was a pretty nice prospect, a second rounder. But, you know, San Antonio wanted cap space so they could sign Pau Gasol. You get Boris Diaw. Sure, you know, he's been around the league, but you know what? He's got some play left in his game. And I think that this system, much like San Antonio, he was a lost player, you remember, coming out of Orlando. I mean, he was overweight. And look, when you play for that type of system that Dennis comes from and Quinn, I'm speaking of the Spurs system, I think this is a perfect fit for Boris Diaw as well. So the Jazz do get stronger, deeper on the bench, which I think equals playoffs, and I think that equals 50 wins. I'm probably going to get, you know, a phone call here. But the expectations, I think, should be raised is my point. And I think that's what Dennis went out and did. He heard the fans. I think he heard the Miller family, and I think what we saw in the last 20 games of the regular season, Bill, you remember the days of the arena. Ugh. When it was to the rafters.
Yes.
No one could win in that building. There's a belief to bring that type of atmosphere back on a permanent scale.
Hey, before I let you go, you cover the league and you see it night in and night out. What's your feeling on the building of these super teams? And I'm not talking, free agents can do what they want to do. That's their prerogative. But is it good for the league that we're going to head into the season and nobody thinks anybody can beat Golden State in the West and nobody thinks anybody can beat Cleveland in the East? I mean, I've talked to 7 NBA guys the last 3 days, and there's not any consensus that, barring some sort of catastrophic injury situation to a LeBron or to a Curry, that anybody but Golden State or Cleveland are going to win in the East or West.
You know, Bill, I'm a guy, I'm old-fashioned, I'm old-school. Maybe it's our Kansas heritage, right,
a little bit.
I think you're kind of the same way. Look, I like competition. I think if I was an athlete in that position, and you know what, Durant said it himself 5 years ago, and this could come back and already has come back to bite him, was that let's go out and compete. You know, and I think that's what I appreciated about Magic and Bird and Jordan. They didn't want to put together a Super League team because what? They wanted to compete and beat each other. Yeah, you can be friendly right off the floor, but it was war when it came to playing Chicago, Boston, Lakers, Celtics. And I think that's the beauty of sport, is the competition factor. So I know that Durant, I know he's a high-character guy. This move did surprise me. I thought he kind of took, and as Barkley said, I mean, Barkley took him apart, and so did Reggie Miller, cheap jewelry. And, you know, it's kind of confusing, unless you panic, Bill, as you head into your, 10th or 11th year in the league, and Durant's got the bad foot, had a couple screws. I don't know if he felt like that he had done all he could in Oklahoma City. I thought he'd take one more run with Westbrook, the way that they fought Golden State in the Western
Conference. They were three minutes away from closing them out.
And then to go to your competition like that, I know it cuts the heart out of that city in Oklahoma and that fan base because they've had such a great run with those two. Homegrown, by the way, picked by the Thunder, Seattle, I'm sorry, Durant was a Sonic for a year and then made the move down to Oklahoma City. But I can understand their angst and their anger, absolutely. We saw it in Cleveland, but now LeBron is back in good stead because he came back home. But I'm not a fan. I don't know. I think for a moment you kind of are intrigued as a fan to see how they do. But at the same time, I think competition is what drives the boat. And I like to see a little bit more. I think Adam Silver did too. I think Silver's come out, Bill, and talked about he liked to see more of a balance. But I don't know what you do because you do work. And you have the freedom in this country to move and go where you please, where the money or what you think is best for you and your family. You can't argue that, but I'm not sure it's the best. I know it's not the best thing for the league.
Yeah, it just kind of smacks of AAU basketball on the high school level
it
where
does.
Guys all get together and build their own teams.
Yeah.
But like, I don't begrudge him because he earned the right as a free agent to do it.
And that's the key. You know, and I think that's when people who are for it will say, or the Warrior fans will say, look, we welcome him because he had the right. But, you know, for them, it only makes them, you know, it gives them the feeling of, look, we're going to be here for a long time with this team, unless, again, catastrophic injuries would hit. It's going to be, they should be very dominant for several more years to come. And I thought that was the same case, Bill, in Miami. But, you know, LeBron took off, and now D. Wade's a Bull. How about that? A lot of stuff going on.
It's crazy.
A lot of stuff happening.
You and Booner have the call tonight?
Booner and I will have the call tonight. First game tips at 5. We'll be on KJazz at 7, along with NBA TV all afternoon. So if you want to watch some hoop, we will be there at the Huntsman Center. I'm anxious to go up and set in that building. Haven't been there for a while.
Yeah, it's different. The scoreboard, the lighting, it's a little bit different building than you were probably in last. You'll enjoy it up there. Hopefully the crowd's good, and it'll be the Jazz against Ben Simmons tonight, so that should be fun too. Thanks, Bowler.
All right, good talking to you, Bill.
All right, talk to you soon. Craig Bowler, Jack with us here on the Bill Riley Show, the voice of the Utah Jazz.